Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a show for veterans by veterans.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we are privileged to be broadcasting from the fantail of the battleship USS Alabama here on Mobile Bay. And we want to welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we have got an absolutely outstanding show coming up for you today, but we want to start by thanking some of the sponsors that help make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do, man. And I tell you what, we're aboard the battleship here at USS Alabama at Battleship Memorial Park. It is unbelievable, and we certainly appreciate them being able to work with us here and having our remote from here today. Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Fantabulous Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and a Lifeline Counseling Services, which is the Veterans 211 Hotline.
Absolutely, and we want to thank all of our sponsors, and you are great listeners, because we could not do this without your support, so please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them, so you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5, and our regularly aired shows are up via podcast on most of the major podcast sites, and if you want to check out Tom's Tirade on demand, you can do that at castbox.com. And we got a packed show for you today, so if we can't get to everything or you like more information on the topics that we cover, you can always check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. Coming up later on SBN, we'll chat with Ms. Rhonda Davis from the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park. She's going to get us up to speed on all the events happening here at the battleship. And we'll also talk with the folks from Lifeline Counseling Services, the folks at the Veteran 211 Hotline. And just a brief story, the smoking lamp is now out at VA hospitals.
What's this?
I know, we can thank the bureaucrats for that one. But
means I ain't going no more.
Also, we got Tom's Tirade later on Old Glory. That's a good one you don't want to miss.
Watch your old man.
There you go. First, we are. It is a pleasure to be joined here on the fantail by Panini Pete from Ed's Seafood Shed. I think he brought over some great groceries. What you got for us today?
I got a few po' boys out there in the I noticed Cal's over here working the board. How come you got my mic turned down so low? Am I too loud or something? What are you? This is editing at its finest.
Yeah, you got that volume control on your jaw.
This is beautiful, guys. Yep. To do this on the fantail, and obviously with what y'all do for the scuttle, but this is fantastic. And you know, Ed's is glad to be part of the family.
Well, we're glad to have you here, and always appreciate the groceries. But what have you got going on over at Ed's these days?
Let me tell you, folks, you got to come by Ed's. Get your butt to Ed's, as we say. I mean, the seafood, the view, the facility is great. The crew is awesome. We're doing so much fun stuff. You know, family friendly. We recreated a whole kid zone with like putting greens and hopscotch. We're doing turtle races. Real turtles are racing. Kids are winning prizes. We have a fun ball scheduled on the weekend, so you'll love this. You know, the mess lords, we go out and cook for the troops all over the world, and one of the things I get to do as a civilian to give back. And on the big ships, Navy MWR has a civilian that works on the ship called the Fun Boss, and their job is to keep morale up through. They do everything from trivia contest, movie night. Well, I took a lesson from the U.S. Navy there, and we schedule a Fun Boss on the weekends. So one of our crew members just there taking care of the kids, having fun, running around, making bubble machines, and kind of gives the parents a little time to relax and have a little downtime.
Unbelievable.
And enjoy their gumbo, enjoy their seafood,
the real
enjoy all
food
the goodies that we
food.
Have at Ed's. That's right, man.
Well, now, speaking of that gumbo, I was headed down to Panama City Beach a couple of weekends ago, stopped off, and I guess got a big quart of it.
Yeah, man.
And everybody loved it.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yes.
Good to hear.
A great thing just to be able to stop off on your way down the Gulf Shores and grab some of that gumbo, grab some good food, and take it to share.
Well, you know me, I hate dropping names is all, but Jimmy Buffett was in there about a month ago. He loved it enough where he posted it on his Instagram story with his song, I'd Play for Gumbo, as he was eating gumbo and po' boys and hanging out at Ed's. So that was a pretty awesome little endorsement
there. Yes.
Yeah, that's outstanding.
Man, you can't buy that.
No, I couldn't. I tried. I did not have enough money.
Well, speaking of Buffett and music, you guys have music on the weekends.
Yeah, we do some live music on the weekends. Nice little acoustic stuff, low key, but just great atmosphere, great ambiance. That patio is so gorgeous. The view is the best anywhere on the Eastern Shore, anywhere on the causeway.
It is awesome.
And it's just so nice. We extended the roof over that lower balcony, so you got some shade.
Mm-hmm.
We've got fans and misters, and it is absolutely gorgeous.
The misters are awesome. You know,
man, I tell you, people are, they get, there's a misnomer on misters. They are awesome.
They're thinking, well, I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna get wet. I said, no, stand here. Just love it.
These aren't the ones you buy at the local hardware store. These are real McCoy, high pressure, high dollar. Just cools you off. It's like one of them fancy joints.
It is. You know, it'll be 80, 90 degrees outside, but right under the misters there, it's 72 degrees.
You're changing the humidity.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you know,
the humidity. And
controlling the weather.
Right. You are. Hey, watch it, man. You're going to get in trouble by controlling the weather.
Food. We're getting good food out. I tell you, the food, the beverage, the hospitality, that team is great. And, you know, the new Ed's is something special.
It is.
So come on down.
Ed's always been a fantabulous place to go to, but with your new management team and all your new people that you brought in, and you've really dressed it up and changed the menu around a little bit, and it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, and Tom, we still have a lot of the old crew there. You know, Miss Mel's in the back cooking up them greens and that coleslaw like she's been doing for about 18, 19 years.
Right.
And, you know, the managers, Jamie, Shante, they are just unbelievable.
Awesome.
The culture is so good there. All we did was just, you know, pour a little gas on the fire.
Right, you did.
Now, Ed's is not your only property. I know you've got some others. You're open. Have you opened up?
Not yet. Got to do it. You know, Panini Pete's is the flagship there in Fairhope. Been there 14 years and just kicking butt. Sunset Point in the Fly Creek Marina is more of a farm-to-table, golf-to-table, beautiful higher-end seafood restaurant. And then we talked about Ed's. Well, the new news, too, is Squid Ink. Eclectic Eats and Drinks coming to downtown Mobile.
Do we get tattoos there?
Yeah, you might could, you know. I tell you what, man, I might work
squid
that out.
Squid Ink.
So it's just kind of a play on words and, you know, that tattoo culture. And we do use Squid Ink in some dishes. And we're going to pay homage to some of the French, Spanish, and British influence in Mobile. Gastropubby, a cool bar. We got a balcony inside, ripped the wall out. What's in the old Panini Pete's location.
Yeah.
So we're going to relocate that. And, you know, I own that building there, so I said, let's just join in on this nighttime parade. The climate downtown is really fantastic. And, you know, we're going to have oysters and pressed sushi and mussels and po' boys and burgers and salads. It's going to be fun. It's going to be delicious.
It is unbelievable.
And it's going to be cool.
Well, it's going to be the first of its kind in Mobile, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think, you know, there's a lot of great restaurants there and a lot of great cocktail bars as well. So, I mean, if it's crazy unique, it'll be different. But, you know, there's a lot of great eateries down there, and we're just joining in. You know, the 7 years that I've been there, there was, you know, it used to be just kids drinking on the weekends. Now it's a very, very nice, the dining culture is great, the food culture. We want to kind of get in with the rest of some of these guys and help solidify Mobile as a great food city and a great cocktail city.
Well, we're talking with Panini Pete, who is with Ed's Seafood Shed and the Panini Pete Empire, I guess.
conglomerate guru.
We use that term very loosely around here. Empire.
Oh, Empire.
But, yeah. Hey, Pete, we appreciate you coming. Thank you so much for the great food. And I think Tom and I are head to Ed's when we get done here.
Oh, yeah,
so
we know the way.
Yeah, I just appreciate what you guys do so much. You know, not being a veteran, my father was a former Marine, and my uncle was a corpsman in the NOM, and my father-in-law was Army. And just what you guys do and the voice you are for the veterans is phenomenal.
I think we're going to make you an honorary Marine.
There we go.
There is such a thing. Use that loosely, too, man. I tell you what, the standards are dropping everywhere. Come to Ed's, everybody.
There you go. Thank you so much, Pete. Hey, on the other side of the break, we'll speak with Ms. Rhonda Davis from the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine. My rifle is my best friend. It is my life.
I must master it as I must master my life. Without me, my rifle is useless. Without my rifle, I am useless.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. Hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And we are proudly broadcasting from the fantail of the battleship USS Alabama here on Mobile Bay. And we're privileged to be joined by a great supporter of our veterans, Ms. Rhonda Davis from the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park. Rhonda, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt.
Well, welcome to the Mighty A.
Well, we are thrilled to be here. It's always great when we get to broadcast from the fantail. And the park is really busy today.
Yes, we are in tourist season as of Memorial Day weekend.
So this really kicks off your busy time of year.
It does. We will see an average of 50 to 54,000 visitors for the month of June. And then July will be our highest visitorship. And then probably about the third week of August, you'll start to see things calm down as the children return to school and families in their vacation.
Great. Well, it's great to see so many people. And I think that Tom and I were talking with a couple of veterans. You know, you have a lot of veterans that come and visit.
We do. And, you know, the thing that we're so proud about is not only do the veterans come, but they bring their families. So it's very common for us to see grandparents with their children and grandchildren sharing that experience, teaching their grandchildren about military service and patriotism. So it really makes us have a little bounce in our step when we see that.
Well, that is wonderful. And I know that you've got more than just the battleship here for folks to come and enjoy, and you've got some stuff coming up this weekend that's some very important events.
We do. You know, we are going to welcome the families and the friends for the USS Drum Crewman Association Reunion. This is their 49th reunion here at the park, and we'll be celebrating the USS Drum's 50th anniversary at Battleship Memorial Park. So this July the 4th will mark the 50th year that the Drum has opened to visitors here in Mobile.
That's wonderful. What a great anniversary. And I know along with everything that you've done for the battleship, the Drum is in great shape.
The Drum is really in pristine condition. We are so fortunate to have Leslie Waters and Tom Bowser on our staff who care for her, and they have a team of very dedicated volunteers that come and work with them. And you know, we Fortunately for our commission members and our leadership, we had the foresight to take the drum out of the water back in the 80s and put her in a cradle. And what we've discovered with our sister historic submarines is because we removed her from the salt water, we have been able to maintain her condition. So many of the submarines are facing hull deterioration, which is leading to, you know, problems for our historic submarine fleet. So we are so proud of the USS Drum. She is the oldest submarine on public display. She is a Gato-class submarine, and she
now,
has...
Is she the only Gato-class that's still around, or is there one more?
I think there's one or two more.
Okay.
But, you know, she won 9 battle stars in World War II. Excuse me, 12. The Alabama won 9. She won 12. So she has a very illustrious World War II history of her own.
And I know it, one of those geeky things, but the tonnage that she was credited with sinking,
yes,
is remarkable.
She still ranks number 8 in the rankings of tonnage sunk during World War II.
A remarkable, remarkable history. And I think that's one of the neatest things, or one of the things I enjoy most about coming here, not only for the battleship, the Drum, the aircraft pavilion, but it's just the stories that come along with everything that you have here.
Absolutely. And, you know, what we do as stewards of the Drum and of our other historic artifacts is we really try to tell the story of the men that served. And what a lot of people don't understand when they think about the USS Drum is just battle. But, you know, the men worked. They had jobs beyond their battle station. You know, they had to cook. They had to do their laundry. They had to keep everything running. So they worked. They had their battle stations. But they lived together and played together on that submarine. And it had, a full complement of 72 sailors on her.
And if you've not visited and been in the Drum, to think about 72 men,
yes,
living in that tin can. I don't know if Tom would have made it.
That'd be tight quarters there for this Marine.
it wasn't just the combat. It was a place that you lived and played and worked.
Absolutely.
And you know, you shared with those brothers in arms that you were there with.
You did. And you know, Tom Bowser, when you tour Monday through Friday, you'll probably meet Tom, and he is a submariner, and he can tell you about what it's like to be on a submarine and how when it was time to have quiet time, they would go to a certain area of the submarine, sit on a bucket, and you didn't talk to each other. That was your quiet time. Or, you know, how they lived and managed. I was over in the submarine last week, and for the first time, I noticed there's a bunk over the torpedo that somebody slept on. So you're sleeping above the torpedo. And when I say above, I'm talking inches above the torpedo. And it just really made me shake my head and think, you know, wow, these young men on the submarine at the bottom of the Pacific during World War II.
And there wasn't a whole lot of room in the rack either.
No. You had to be really steel.
I wonder if it was hot racks.
Have you heard
yes. That?
I'm sure that it had to be, Tom, because when they would go on patrol, of course, it was 24-hour duty. So I'm sure it was on the USS Alabama, so I'm sure.
And, you know, there are great stories there. So you mentioned the reunion coming up this weekend.
Yes.
How many of the crew are still alive?
We have 3 crewmen that we know of that's documented that's still alive. They will not be attending the reunion this year because of health issues and travel. And, of course, you know, they are all in their 90s now. But we will have their families and their friends come. It will be a very important reunion. At 11 o'clock, we'll hold their memorial service, as is our custom. And following the memorial service, we will be tossing roses into Mobile Bay in their memory. Then after that, the association will have a private luncheon, and then we'll all go aboard the USS Alabama for the call to battle stations. We will have our historic reenactors, our living history crew, aboard both the Drum and the Alabama this weekend. So they'll do call to battle stations and do the very popular battle reenactment. We have the Black Ducks which is a group of pilots out of the Florida Panhandle coming. They fly the L-Birds, the tiny World War II airplanes. So they'll be landing on the field Saturday morning and flying air maneuvers right after the call to battle stations at 1. And then we'll have, the beauty of this weekend is we'll have our USS drum reenactors on the drum telling stories about the drum and sharing her military service. So that is a wonderful way that we keep those stories alive and pay tribute to the men that served on the USS Drum.
That is really, really wonderful. So if folks want to enjoy all of that, what time should they show up Saturday morning?
Well, you know, we will post the colors on the USS Alabama at 8:30. The Living History Cruise will. They'll have time to tour. If they want to observe the memorial service, we invite them to come and observe. Then be on board the USS Alabama at 1. Now, in the wardroom aboard the USS Alabama, the crewmates are going to be making holiday greeting cards that will be sent to Operation Gratitude, which is an organization that packs and sends care packages to our active duty military overseas. So we're starting the holiday card campaign so the children can draw and make cards. We'll have our WAVES, which are the female reenactors, in the wardroom, and they'll be sharing information and history about women serving during World War II. So it'll be a full day. Everything is included in the admission. We open the park at 8 a.m. We invite everyone to come. It is high tourist season, so dress coolly, wear flat shoes, sunscreen, drink lots of water. It's going to be a really busy but exciting day.
Wonderful. Well, Rhonda, we thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
The great venue for the show.
Thank you. We love having you all here, and thank you for all you do for veterans. Well, we really appreciate it.
We appreciate you being with us, and thank you so much for everything you do for our veterans and military and keeping the stories alive here at the Battleship.
Well, thanks for helping us share those stories.
Wonderful. Hey, on the other side of the break, we will talk with the folks from Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline, when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. A voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM, firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And we're broadcasting live from the fantail of the USS Alabama here on Mobile Bay. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. And, hey, you can always check us out on Facebook, and you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
And we certainly want to thank all the fine folks that helped make this show possible. The Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, which we are at today, can you believe, live on the Battleship. This is the biggest bass boat I've ever been on. Our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly would call it, and Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veterans 211 Hotline.
And we're
and she's here.
She is. We are joined in the scuttlebutt seat today by Stephanie Ward from Lifeline Counseling Services. And Stephanie, welcome to the Scuttlebutt.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be here, and thank you for having us.
Well, it's great to have you here. I guess let's get started. Many of our listeners may not know what Lifeline Counseling Services does, so give us just sort of the big story on what Lifeline is.
So Lifeline's counseling is actually a multi-service agency. We have counseling services as well as our 211 services, as well as things like consumer credit counseling and a rape crisis center. So we kind of try and cover a variety of services to help individuals achieve the best lives that they can for themselves.
And this, I know we are targeting kind of the veterans side of things and the services you mark to veterans, but you're open to the general public as well.
Absolutely. And I actually work in the 211 call center, and so that is for the general public, but we do have case management for veterans and a program specifically for veterans.
Okay. So what services, I know you've got the call center and the 211,
mm-hmm.
but your services go well beyond that. So
absolutely.
If what's the starting point for someone who wants to reach out and work with you?
Okay, so an easy way would actually be to call the local 211, which would be a nice way to kind of a gateway into whether someone wants Lifeline's counseling services or any other services in the community that we may have information on in the 211 database, because we do have information and provide referral services for just a variety of services, supportive services, and community resources. In from our call center, we serve the 8-county area of the southwest of Alabama. And so
if anyone were to call in any of those 8 counties, if they hit 211, they're going to reach you.
They could. That should be the way it goes. Hopefully we'd be the ones to pick up the phone. If it's not, they might get routed to another center who would then end up probably sending them back to us if they end up out of state. But they should definitely be able to receive some services from 211, and making it to our center would be absolutely the best, because we do have different services as well that we do provide from that location as well, local ones as well, if somebody were to need some different case management services. We can provide that as well, depending on where they are and what they need.
Now, just some, you mentioned the 8 counties. If someone mm-hmm. were to call and they're not in the Mobile area,
right.
Do you have resources that they can reach in the 8 counties, or do they have to ultimately come down into this area?
Okay, so say someone were to call in and needed to, or maybe they were to reach out. There's also the website, as well as they can text as well to find 211 resources if they want to go to 211connects.org to get, if they wanted to maybe self-navigate and find things on their own. But usually you should get routed around to 211 here. And from that point, we would gauge and see, you know, why it is they're calling. Usually people are calling into us for help with, say, basic needs. They may need some utility assistance or help paying their rent, or, you know, connections to food pantries in their local areas. Also services like mental health care, medical care.
What about family counseling?
Absolutely, family counseling. Counseling services, of course. And that wouldn't just be, if they were to call 211, it wouldn't just be information that they'd be getting on Lifelines, but they'd be getting it for whatever might be available in their area, as well as Lifelines.
So when someone comes to you, do you try to take a look at the overall picture that they have and see what all you can offer them, or is it more they're calling in for something very specific and you point them just in that direction?
Well, the usually the way that the process works, someone usually has a specific need that they're calling in for, and while we're talking to them, we're going to be asking them, like, are you a veteran? Are there veterans in your household? And asking other kinds of questions, listening, engaging in active listening, finding out, you know, like they may mention, you know, I can't pay this bill because I lost my job. And so we'd be connecting them to, you know, agencies that may be able to help them with that need as well, and asking them, you know, just kind of following up and really paying attention to what that person needs, caring about what it is that they're going through, and then offering as much as we can and support, and always the opportunity to follow up with us and to kind of build a relationship there as well.
Now, I know you're open to the broader community, but do you have a lot of contact with veterans or veterans coming in to seek your services?
Absolutely. We have a veterans initiative that began in November of 2017, I believe, through the Community Foundation. And since that time, we have had over 700 veterans contact or get in touch with our 211 call center, and have been able to connect them to different area resources that are there specifically for them. And we also do engage in outreach activities as well. In that sense, I was able to go to the opening of the VA center down on Demetropolis when
Wonderful.
That happened. So that was neat.
Yeah.
And also, because at this call center, we also do National Suicide Prevention Lifeline calls. And having that as well, if there's a veteran in crisis, yesterday actually a bunch of us 2-1-1 call specialists were able to attend a mental health first aid class just to kind of go ahead and get ourselves as educated as we possibly can, as prepared as we possibly can to serve those in need who do call into our, you know, to get assistance from us or with us.
That is outstanding. So you mentioned being there when the clinic opened. Do you coordinate with the VA? Is that one of the paths that you might lead a veteran to?
We can advocate on behalf of callers, and we have done that in the past with different area agencies. We have had cases where we've reached out to, you know, say there was a homeless veteran that needed help, you know, getting in touch with the right agency to get them housing. We've done that for them, and we will do that. We will take that that position and go ahead and offer that direct connection to different area agencies that may be able to help.
Outstanding. So it really is, you're kind of almost like a one-stop shop for the resources that a veteran or someone else in the community
right.
might need.
I think of it almost like a hub of where you can kind of go in and get connected to wherever it is that you might need. And a lot of the time, people just don't know what's out there. And so for us to hear a need and say, you know what, there's help for that, that's shocking to a lot of people.
Because mm-hmm.
They're just like, oh, I didn't know that I could get help for that. And so that's kind of amazing when someone kind of calls in for one reason and is able to resolve a bunch of issues in their lives. And you know, especially when we get to follow up with them and find out what happens and get that kind of good, happy ending story, which is really great.
Well, Stephanie, we thank you for joining us. Thank you for everything that you're doing with Lifeline and everything you're doing to help our veterans. What's the easiest way for somebody to reach out if they need some of your resources?
Okay, easiest way, just dial 211. And if you want to get in touch with our local office, it's 251-431-5111.
Wonderful. Well, Stephanie, I know this was your first time, but you did a great
job.
Yes, you did. Yeah, awesome job.
Outstanding. Hey, on the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on Old Glory. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Tomorrow, June the 14th, throughout our nation, people will gather together to commemorate one of our national holidays. That's right, tomorrow is a national holiday. Don't worry, I bet most of you missed it sneaking up on you. You see, June 14th is Flag Day, in honor and recognition of Old Glory. And don't get me started on just how tattered and torn our dear old flag has become under the current crew of politicians and bureaucrats inside the Beltway and on Capitol Hill these days. Needless to say, we have never been in greater need of this nation to rally around our national standard. But before I go too far down that rabbit hole, you see, people, many of them veterans, gathered together on the 14th to celebrate a holiday that is very important to our nation, but one it seems that has been forgotten by many. Hell, by most, if you look at the coverage on TV. And you don't hear of many Flag Day sales or get invited to many Flag Day barbecues, and yet we gather together each year to commemorate our national flag and to remember all that it means to us and our nation. You know, maybe what is lacking in our celebration of Flag Day is not the celebration itself, but an honest and true understanding of just exactly what it is that we are celebrating. So Top Cat is now going to go all teacher on you. See if you can keep up, because I was around for most of this. On June 14th, 1777, the Continental Congress, seeking to promote pride and unity in a fledgling nation, adopted the following. Resolved that the flag of the United States be 13 stripes, alternate red and white, that the Union be 13 stars, white in a blue field, representing a new constellation. The stars at that time represented Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Georgia, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Virginia, New York, North Carolina, and Rhode Island. It is generally accepted that the flag that the Congress adopted was originally sewn by Betsy Ross and complete in late May or early June of 1776. However, the creation and composition of the national flag that we know today might not have occurred had it not been for a rather curious coincidence in the early days of the Revolutionary War. Earlier that same year, on January 1, 1776, the Continental Army was reorganized in accordance with a congressional resolution which placed American forces under George Washington's control. On that New Year's Day, the Continental Army was laying siege to Boston, which had been taken over by the British Army. Washington ordered the Grand Union flag, which had the British Union Jack in place of our current Field of Stars, hoisted above his base at Prospect Hill in compliment of the United Colonies. In Boston, on that New Year's Day, the Loyalists, supporters of Britain, had been circulating a recent King George speech offering the Continental forces favorable terms if they laid down their arms. These Loyalists were convinced that the King's speech had impressed the Continentals into surrendering. As a sign of the Continental surrender, the Loyalists mistook the flying of the Grand Union flag over Prospect Hill as a show of respect to King George. In fact, however, the Continentals knew nothing of the speech until later. Upon learning this, General Washington wrote in a letter dated January the 4th, "By this time, I presume they begin to think it's strange we have not made a formal surrender of our lines." Who says old George didn't have a sense of humor? But obviously, a new flag was needed, and thus our national colors were born. As our nation has grown from its humble origins, our flag has remained a steadfast symbol of freedom throughout the world and rallying point for those who call this nation home. Perhaps the first words describing the meaning of our flag to an individual in time of war were penned in 1814 in the waters off of a besieged Fort McHenry by Francis Scott Key. As the smoke cleared from the fort and daylight came, he wrote, "The flag was still there." Of course, we now know his simple, heartfelt, handwritten poem as our national anthem. And for two centuries now, we have joined together to sing Key's words and pay respects to our flag, our men and women who have fought for and under this flag, and yes, those that have died protecting that for which it stands. In recognition of what the flag had meant to our nation, on June 14, 1916, President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation calling for a nationwide observance of Flag Day. And so we still gather, though our numbers are few, as so many have done before us, to pay our respects to our flag and to remember what it has meant to each of us. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to come together in respect to celebrate our national standard, remembering the many sacrifices that have made our freedom possible. And it is necessary that we who have served under the flag in years past take the time to pass on just what it means to those who haven't served and for those yet to serve. One only need look to the mess into which this nation was allowed to descend over the course of the 8 years of the Obama administration in order to realize what has always made America exceptional. That we, as a nation and as individual service members serving under this flag, have fought and died so that others may live and live in freedom. Even as an all-volunteer military, our brave men and women serve a higher cause than the meager paycheck that they get at the end of the month. They fight for the principles like duty, honor, country, embodied by the flag. Ideals that are lost to many of a generation that has benefited from the sacrifice of those who have fought and died for our precious freedom. Those such as the privileged players of the National Football League who continue to denigrate this nation and those who fought for under the guise of social justice, beginning with Colin Kaepernick and spreading through the league of overpaid sports jocks. The assault on our institutions such as the military and police have spread to an outward disrespect for the office of the president, specifically because of the man who fairly won the election. It has manifested itself in the players of the Philadelphia Eagles who worked their way to being disinvited to the traditional White House visit as the Super Bowl champions. It will continue with the NBA champs as players from both teams in the championship vowed not to accept any invitation. Ironically enough, this disrespect for old glory, our traditions, and institutions will do nothing more than continue to alienate the fans that these organizations need to continue to pay the ridiculous salaries of these grown-up schoolyard bullies. In the end, they will kill their own golden goose. Because of the American people, the patriots of old and new have been awakened to the struggle that is ahead of them for their country and their freedoms and the future for their children and beyond. They are willing to turn off the boob tube, stay home from the stadiums, and start a new wave of American idealism. But you see, that is exactly why Old Glory is so special. Because no phony baloney politician and no overpaid football diva can steal from it what was earned with the blood and sacrifice of so many. And so I ask that each of you take a few moments with your children and grandchildren and tell them what the flag means to you and what it should mean to them, and hopefully one day to their children, should the flag still be there for them. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Hold up, sir!
Hold up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM, streaming live on ScuttlebuttNetwork.com, along with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. A couple old Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And we have had the privilege of broadcasting today live from the fantail of the battleship USS Alabama here on Mobile Bay. It's just been a fantastic day. Had some great guests. Talked to Panini Pete earlier about all the great things he's got going on in his restaurant empire. And, of course, Rhonda Davis with the battleship. They've got the crew reunion for the drum coming up this weekend. Saturday would be a fantastic day to be here in the park. And then, of course, talked with Stephanie Ward from Lifeline Counseling Services. And it ties in with a story, Tom, that I had. I really don't have time to get through all of it. But veterans, the story is basically veterans that don't want to work in the VA system.
Right. There's so many of them, they're afraid of the VA or something.
They are. But nonprofits like LCS are having problems reaching out to those veterans because the veterans don't want to plug into anything. And so, if you know somebody out there and they need those resources, just pick up the phone, 211, and you're right there. They've got all the resources at their disposal to be able to help those folks. But real quick, the VA, the Department of Veterans Affairs, are going to be completely smoke-free by October. All forms of tobacco, including e-cigarettes and vaping, which I don't think vaping actually counts as a form of tobacco. I think it's pretty much water vapor. But anyway, I think it's funny because, a lot of these World War II and Vietnam Korean veterans, heck, they gave them cigarettes.
Right. Oh, yeah.
In the military.
Hey, we got cigarettes in our rations, man. What are you talking about? Camels and Lucky Strikes.
There you go. But anyway, Tom, it's been a great day here on the battleship. I want to thank Sean for being out here with us, and thank all the folks here. But that's going to bring us to the close of this edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. We thank you for joining us. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. God bless America. We'll catch you on the other side.
I don't know where to say anchors away. Hoorah!
And there you go.